Good morning. It's great to be in worship with you today. So we are continuing. We started last week series on spiritual gifts, and we're going to continue that this morning. So let me ask a question just kind of out of the chute. Personally, just you personally, what questions have you either asked about spiritual gifts personally or questions that you've heard people ask about spiritual gifts? I know some people might say, well, I have no idea even what a spiritual gift is. We're going to actually try to cover some of that today. So personally, question that you may have asked about spiritual gifts, and I do want you to talk back to me, or questions you've heard other people ask about spiritual gifts. So let's kind of populate the air with some of your answers regarding spiritual gifts. Question. Questions you've had personally.
Are spiritual gifts
Are spiritual gifts different than the fruit of the Spirit? That's a very, very good question. Are spiritual gifts different than the fruit of the Spirit? Very good question. Okay, somebody else. Okay, then we're good. We don't have to do this then. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Do I have to speak in tongues?
Do you have to speak in tongues? Okay, that's a, okay, why are you starting controversy all this morning? Do I have to speak in tongues? Okay, so that's a very good question. We're going to do an entire message on tongues and speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. But we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So that's a very good question. Very divisive, can be divisive, can be very controversial. And so we're going to ask security to come remove you. So I'm just kidding. You know you're my friend. So questions, personal questions you've had about spiritual gifts. Yes. Are you conscious when you're using it? That's a really, really good question. Nobody asked that the first service. So am I conscious when I'm using my spiritual gift? We're going to try to hint at that and talk about that this morning as well. All right, let's take a couple of more. Yes, back in the back there. If I don't use it, do I lose it? That's a really, really good question as well. And we do get a sense of that in the New Testament, that if you don't use your gift, there's a revocation of that gift because you're not really building up the body of Jesus. But we may broach that a little bit, but definitely in the weeks to come. Question you hear? Yes, Sam.
How many are there? Do they change?
That's a very good question. How many are there? Can you have multiple, and do they change over a period of time? So that's really, really good. So very, very good question. We'll take one more. Yes. Okay, does the spiritual gift get stronger as you continue your walk with Christ? Okay, very, very good questions. Wow, this is a really, really good group, and I feel so inadequate now that all of these really, really good questions. But we're going to try to touch on a lot of that as we walk through. So remember, last week we actually, we kind of built a foundation for spiritual gifts. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we started and said, hey, the Corinthians had questions about spiritual gifts. Actually, they had questions about spiritual things, of which spiritual gifts was one. And so they asked questions, how can we tell when the Spirit is at work in a person's life? How can we tell when the Spirit is active and using a person? How do we know when the activity of the Spirit of God is something that we say, yes, that is the Spirit of God? And Paul says there's a simple test that you can take, or simple test, and that is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That is the foundation to anything what we're talking about, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, that is the foundation. Is Jesus Lord? Not just saying that he's Lord, but he is actually directing our lives. He's actually leading us and directing us, and we're bringing our lives under his lordship and in alignment with what he desires. Because we said that the Spirit will always make much of Jesus. He will always point to Jesus. He will not move us away from Jesus. He will always move us toward Jesus. Anytime we see a person moving toward Jesus, we can say that the Spirit of God is at work in that moment. If the Spirit of God is causing you and me to get rid of things that move us away from him, then we know that the Spirit of God, that's the activity of the Spirit of God. And so, so that's one way that we can tell. But then Paul says there is another way we can tell when the Spirit of God is manifesting himself in and through the lives of people and in the church. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have a copy of the scriptures, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to begin looking at verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's where we were last week. If you're using the Bible that the church has provided, it's page 959. 959. And so once you get there, say, I got it. All right, so let's, if you don't mind, if you can hold them up with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's Word. If I read it and respond to it, it will change my life. So let's begin at verse number 4. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So as a good Bible student, I want to ask a question. What do you notice in these, in verses 4, 5, and 6? What do you notice? Just what do you notice right off the bat? What do you notice in the text? I'm sorry? Varieties. You see varieties three times. So Paul is after something there. See the word varieties. Anytime you see a continual use of a word like that, you have to stop and pause and say, there's something that the writer had in mind, because he would not use it that many times if he did not. So Paul does have something in mind. So varieties used three times. What else do you notice in the passage? Same. Okay, same Spirit, same Lord, same God. So you see the word same again. Paul is after something, what's your name? I know your name, Sarah. I know your name. Yeah. So Sarah mentioned three things. So we see the presence of the triune God. We see the Spirit. We see the Lord, Jesus, and we see God. So Paul is after something here. And this is what he's after. He's used the word varieties, and he used the word same because he wants to reveal the variety and the unity, the diversity and the unity of the body of Jesus. He wants to reveal the diversity of gifts, and he wants to reveal the unity of the Spirit. He wants to reveal the diversity of gifts among the people in Corinth, but he wants to actually highlight the unity of the same source. Because we have a variety of gifts in this room. If you're a follower of Jesus, we have a variety of gifts in this room, but those gifts come from the same Lord. So let me, before I give you the definition of a spiritual gift, before I give you the definition, let me give you something that happened to you and me the moment you and I became followers of Jesus. The moment you said yes to Jesus, three things happened that the Spirit did. Now, we're going to be weaving the activity and the attributes of the Holy Spirit throughout this particular series. So three things that happened right away the moment you said yes to Jesus. The first thing that happened is this, is that the moment you surrendered your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Jesus. So you became a part of the Big C Church. You didn't have to go through a class. You didn't have to sign anything. You became a part of the family of God. The Holy Spirit placed you there, mysteriously as it is, as it was. You and I became a part of the family of God. We're brothers and sisters. We have the same Father. So that's the first thing. Holy Spirit placed you into the body of Jesus. Second thing that happened the moment you and I said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit took up residence in your life. In other words, he came to dwell inside you and me. And the reason why that's the case is because I need help following Jesus. You need help following Jesus. There's no way in the world that you and I can follow all the things that Jesus tells us to do in our own strength and power. I don't know about you. I cannot forgive in my own power. I need another power outside of myself, which actually resides in myself, who is the Holy Spirit, because I cannot forgive unless the Spirit empowers me. I cannot love unless the Spirit empowers me. And so what the Spirit is doing in dwelling in us, he is helping us to follow Jesus. So that's the second thing that happened. The third thing that happened is that the Spirit of God gave every single person who said yes to Jesus at least one spiritual gift. So that means believers have spiritual gifts, not unbelievers. So the moment you say yes to Jesus, Spirit baptizes you into the body of Jesus. Secondly, the Spirit indwells you and me to help us follow Jesus, to empower us. Thirdly, everybody in this room, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have at least one spiritual gift. So I want you to be encouraged today that God did not pass you by. That you have a spiritual gift, at least one. Okay? Everybody follow me on that. So nobody can say, like, God passed. He didn't give me a gift. Just, man, no, he did. Everybody in this room, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have a spiritual gift. So what is the definition of a spiritual gift? Let me give you, again, you probably heard a variety of definitions, but they will all include elements of what we have in this definition here. So a spiritual gift is a supernatural ability given by the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We see that in the text, the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. Given by the triune God to believers, and here's the reason, to fulfill the mission of Jesus, which is to make disciples and to make the church stronger. That's what a spiritual gift is. Spiritual gift is supernatural ability, supernatural capacity that God has given, the triune God has given every believer to fulfill the mission of Jesus, to make disciples and to make the church stronger. So if you have a spiritual gift and you're not using it, we are weaker as a result. If you have a spiritual gift and you're not using it, then we are at a disadvantage as the body of Jesus. Because the spiritual gift is about truly serving God and actually making the body of Jesus stronger. And so Paul actually shares these things at the very beginning, or at least in these verses. He is trying to get the Corinthians to understand something. He uses the word varieties and he uses the word same, and he is trying to get them to understand something. They were fighting over which gifts were superior. And they said tongues are more superior than every other gift. And so Paul had to address that. That's the reason he said varieties, because the Corinthians were thinking, oh, there are only a few gifts, and the ones who are emphasizing those gifts, those are the most important people in the body of Jesus. And so Paul says, no, there are all kinds of gifts in the body of Jesus. There are all kinds of gifts that are represented right now in this church. We can be a more powerful powerful church using gifts. But if we're not using, this is not, please, this is not a guilt trip by any means. If you're not using your gift, we're at a disadvantage as the body of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is after something. He said, I want you to understand that there are a variety of gifts in the same God that gives the gifts. Variety of gifts, same God that gives the gifts. So Paul is stressing unity in the church. He is stressing the diversity and unity, the diversity of the gifts, but the unity of the Spirit and how those gifts are used. He says there are differing gifts, and here are some things that we can glean from these three verses. Number one, Paul is using these terms to reinforce variety. And here's what I mean by that. There are people in this room, you experience God differently than I do. And there are individuals who have gifts that allow you to experience God than if I were doing it. So that's the reason he says varieties, because he wants the body of Jesus to experience God in a way that is not in terms of uniformity, but in a different and a variety of different ways. So he wants to highlight varieties. The second thing that he wants to affirm is that the gifts come from the same source. There is not a part of God that gives gifts out to individuals so they can emphasize and be more superior. And there's not a lesser God giving more humble gifts, and somehow these two individuals are at odds with one another. He said it's from the same source. The same God, the same Spirit, the same Lord is giving out gifts to the body. And then third, Paul says he wants to broaden their understanding. He wants to broaden their understanding of gifts. In other words, the less spectacular gifts are just as powerful manifestations as the spectacular gifts. Let me say that again. That someone who is working in the sound booth, who's helping to project my voice, and a number of you are saying, well, you don't really need a microphone, Marvin. So they are just as important as someone who is on the stage. So he's trying to get them to broaden their understanding, because they were myopic in their thinking that those who spoke in tongues were more important. I know I said that. They were more important than everyone else. So if anybody ever asks you, is your church charismatic, or is your church Baptist? Is your church charismatic? Is your church Lutheran? Is your church charismatic, or your church Catholic? You tell them that, yes, our church is charismatic. Whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Well, this word, charisma or charismaton, is the grace gift God has given every single person. So every time you and I use our gifts, we are actually manifesting the grace of God, the charisma of God. So yes, our church is a charismatic church. Our church is a charismatic, not because of tongues and not because of prophecy. Our church is a charismatic church because we are using the gifts of God. That's the way it should be. Does this make sense? Okay, I love this stuff. I really do. I love this stuff, all right? So Paul starts off with their variety of gifts, but there is one gift giver. Same Lord, same Spirit, same God. So let's review. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have a gift, or more than one gift. If you're a believer, you are endowed with a supernatural capacity to bless the body of Jesus. If you don't use your gift, we are weaker. If you don't use your gift, we are at a disadvantage as followers of Jesus. All right, so he starts off with this. Then he goes to verse 7. He gives us the reason why we have spiritual gifts. Verse 7, this is what it says. It says, to each is given. There's an emphasis to each. See, Paul is brilliant in this. He is saying to each, not just the tongue speakers, to each, not just knowledge and wisdom individuals, to each, not just teachers and evangelists, to each person in the body has been given the manifestation of the Spirit. So when you and I use our gift, that's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. So each to each, not just a few, and we have been given specific gifts for specific purposes to accomplish the mission of Jesus, that is to make disciples and to make this church, and to make the church, big C as well as little C, church, stronger. So there are several things that that come out of this particular verse. First, the purpose for the gifts and all the gifts that we have, it's for the common advantage of the church. I am stronger when you use your gift. Guess what? Your gift is not for you, it's for me. Your gift is not for you, it's for her over here. Your gift is not for him, but it's for him, not for you, but it's for him over here. Your gift in the back, the gift that God has given you, it's not for you. It's actually to bless the rest of the body of Jesus. It's to actually bless me. So when you use your teaching gift, when you use your encouragement gift, when you use your mercy gift, when you use your helps gift, it is actually helping me to follow Jesus more closely. That's the reason you and I have we have the gifts. So it's first for the common advantage, for the whole body. Second, it's not to promote status. It's not to promote somehow I'm better than anyone else. It's not to promote image and prestige and somehow your station in the church of Jesus Christ. I have the better gift, so I should have better privileges. I have this gift that everyone sees, so you should make a big deal about me. That's Paul says, no, 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 no. The gifts are given for the building up of the body of Jesus. So wherever we're weak, there are gifts in this room that will actually make us stronger. Do you hear me? Like if wherever we're weak, if we're weak in administration and leadership, if we're weak in the gift of helps or evangelism, if we're weak in the gift of applying the knowledge and wisdom of God to a situation, and if you have that gift and you don't use that gift, Satan loves that. He loves when the people of God don't know what their gifts are. And so the gifts are used for building up, uniting the body of Jesus so that we might be stronger, so that we might be more of it at an advantage versus disadvantage. So verse 4 says, hey, these are variety of gifts, abilities, a variety of gifts and variety of service, variety of workings. And God is the one who controls the effects of your spiritual gift. And then he says, well, the reason you have a gift is to build up everybody. And then he goes on in verses 8 through 10, he actually gives some examples of spiritual gifts. So let's read the passages. In verse 8, it says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And in verse 11, all of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions each one individually as he wills. Now, there are a couple of things that Paul wants us to understand from these verses, verses 8 through 10. So this is so cool. And I hope that this is who we become. Here's the first thing. Paul assumes that healings and miracles and the revelatory gifts, that is, wisdom and knowledge, they are everyday occurrences in the body of Jesus. It's not abnormal. It's not. We shouldn't just like, whoa, when someone calls and say, you know, God healed me. We shouldn't like, he did? Oh, wow, we're surprised. We ought to, when we get a call like that, when God heals somebody, we ought to say, yeah, that's what he does. That's what he does. He heals. That's what he does. We shouldn't be surprised by that. We shouldn't be surprised when God says, hey, a miracle happened. He broke into human history and caused something supernatural to happen. We ought to say, God has worked miracles from the very beginning of time. It should not surprise the body of Jesus that God is working miracles among his people. Does that matter? Does that make sense? It should not surprise us. It should not surprise us when we hear of this idea that someone actually God downloaded his wisdom to them and gave wisdom to someone else in a situation that they could not figure out by themselves. And when God brought them through it, they praise God for the wisdom of heaven. So we ought to say that's not human wisdom. So this ought to be everyday occurrence. We ought to wake up every day, and Trinity Church should be filled with stories of God working among his people in supernatural, powerful, healing, miraculous ways. And we ought to let the world know that that's just the way our God works. Just the way he works. So Paul assumes this. He assumes when he gave this list of gifts that God would be working in the community in a normal way. Here's the second thing. This list is not meant to be exhaustive. So there's a list in Romans chapter 12. There's a list in Ephesians chapter 4. This list is not meant to be exhaustive. Even in those other places we see the gifts, those lists are not meant to be exhaustive. These are a sampling of the manifestations of the Spirit of God among his people. Third, some of these gifts illuminate one another. Like the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom, there is not that much of that big of a difference, but they both illuminate one another. They kind of give commentary on the other. Some of gifts overlap. Another thing is that it contains a mixture of gifts, of what might be more ordinary gifts and what might be spectacular gifts. Ordinary gifts, as I mentioned, is a manifestation of the Spirit of God, just as the more spectacular gifts. And again, the last thing, this is an ad hoc list. Now, what I mean by that is Paul came up with this list. Why? Because the Corinthians were dealing with certain things. And he came up with the list to address the things that they were dealing with. So that's the reason that wisdom and knowledge come first, and tongues and interpretation is last on the list. He came up with the list. He wanted to communicate. Reason why tongues is last on the list. Tongues and interpretation of tongues is last on the list. He wanted to let them know that that tongues, you're making a big deal about it, I want you to know that is not as big of a deal as the gifts that cause people to grow. Prophecy, that is, declaring the word of God, the wisdom and knowledge of the mind of Christ for individuals, those are more important in a sense, it builds up the entire church. So Paul has a method to his madness, the reason why he listed the things that the way he did. If you read through the Gospels, Judas is always last. He is always last because of the rank that he had and what he ultimately did. And so Paul says, hey, listen, I want you to understand I'm speaking to a specific need in this church, but you can learn from the specific need that Paul has, that Paul wants us to learn through the Corinthians. So let's get into some of the, just give some definitions. Paul is not trying to define these gifts, but we do have some sense of what these gifts might be. Number one, wisdom and knowledge. We're going to take those together because they kind of overlap and they kind of illuminate one another and they are kind of connected. It's not going to be on the screen. I'm just going to give them to you. Wisdom and knowledge is the supernatural ability to apply the mind of Christ in any situation by communicating his mind to those individuals. It is not just your regular run-of-the-mill wisdom. It's not like, that person is a wise person. This is a supernatural gift where you and I get a download from the Spirit of God, and we take the mind of Christ, we take the Word of God, and we apply it to a situation that is just absolutely, we cannot, there's the human understanding cannot solve this issue. So we need the wisdom of God. And there are individuals who God has just blessed with the gift of wisdom that it is like they can look at a situation and they know the wise thing to do and say in that situation. That is the Spirit of God gives them that. And that gift is obviously developed. The gift of wisdom and knowledge is developed like any other gift and ability, just like the gift of teaching is developed, just like the gift of evangelism is developed. Do I know when I'm using the gift of wisdom and knowledge? I think we should, when a situation arises, we are in this place where we say, Spirit of God, you've given me this gift. Would you please give me your wisdom in this moment? Now, there are moments where we might use the gift and we're using it for ourselves and we're using it with the wrong motives. And God doesn't show up in those moments. So wisdom and knowledge. These are God-given insights into the mysterious purposes and the workings of God in a given situation. I can't explain it. I don't fully understand it. I just know that I've been around people who have used their gift of wisdom, and it's like the dam broke. Like have you've been? I've been in situations where it's round and round and round, and we're in a meeting, and it's like 3 hours and 4 hours and 5 hours, and then somebody with the gift of wisdom said, "Have you thought about that?" Like, no, we hadn't, and it's like we apply it, and boom, there it is. It opens up, and so wisdom and knowledge. Here's number two, faith. On the list. Faith is a spiritual gift that it involves an unusual measure of trust in God beyond what most Christians have. This is mountain moving faith. This is the ability for a person to walk into a situation and like literally everything is breaking down. And there's no way, we don't see how it's going to happen. And that person walks in and says, you know something? I believe God is going to do something. I believe God is going to work. And I believe that I've seen him work in the past. And you know something? I have a settled confidence that God is going to show up in this situation and he's going to work. And they walk away and it's like, Tell us more. Like, no, I just believe that he's going to do that. And God, in ways, he shows up and he does it. And that person has this amazing gift of faith. And the next one is healings. Paul has this list, and he puts this list together for a reason. Healings and faith, I believe they go together. And healings is the supernatural ability to serve as a human instrument through whom God supernaturally heals and cures illnesses and restores people to full health. I just believe that that's the way God shows up. God actually gives people gifts of healing. Now, let me say this. This person who has the gift of healing can't decide who gets healed and who doesn't get healed. It is the sovereign purpose of God who he heals and who he does not. The person who has the gift of healing just says, I am an open conduit. I am an open instrument. God, I am here. And are you saying that you are ready to heal this person? This person becomes an instrument of God's healing. This person doesn't. Sell healing cloths for $5.99. Again, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just saying this person doesn't do it. This person just says, this person quietly and confidently trusts God for the supernatural healing of of individuals that they pray for. I have seen it. You have seen it. We have seen people pray and people were healed. Carmen mentioned there are individuals who prayed for her and God sovereignly healed her body, and she stands as a testament of individuals who were conduits for healing. Again, I don't know who in this room has that gift. I don't know who in this room has the gift of faith. I don't know who in this room has the gift of wisdom and knowledge. And yet the text says, I think Paul assumes that the church will have these gifts and will use these gifts and operate in these gifts. Miraculous powers. Or working of miracles, as the text says, working of miracles. Partly this is referring to exercising of demons, but I think it also includes just your run-of-the-mill miracles. You're praying and asking God to interrupt human history and show his power in healings, show his power in job situations, to show his power in all of these other situations. And I think faith and healings and miraculous powers, the way he has grouped them together, they are all kind of connected. There's some overlap between the three of these. Prophecy is the supernatural ability to receive and proclaim messages from God, starting with the Word of God. And then the Spirit of God also, as you and I are walking close with the Spirit of God, he gives us unctions, or he gives us these moments where he gives us something to give to someone else, and it's not for me, but it's for someone else. And that person, we just tell them, hey, test that. I don't know if I just, God put your face in my mind. You're on my heart, and he gave me this, and I want to give it to you and do with it what you will. And God shows up, and he uses the gift of prophecy to encourage and to console and to bless and to help grow. And Paul says, hey, listen, I wish everyone could speak in tongues, but really the greater gift is the gift of prophecy. Why? And we're going to talk about that in the passage on tongues. He says, I would rather everyone would prophesy, because when you prophesy, everybody can understand it and everybody can grow. So he says, prophecy. Prophecy is this sense of God receiving God's messages. I've shared this story before, but I want to share it again because it was a marking point in my life as someone who kind of just said, whatever. So a number of years ago, Our prayer team, a few different people then who are on the prayer team now, they wanted to pray for all of the pastors and leaders in our church. And so on a Saturday night, they ask us or me to come. Tanya wasn't here on Saturday night, when we had a Saturday night service. And so after the service, I came in, and they put me in the middle, and they began to pray for me. Or before they prayed for me, something happened. And that something that happened, it actually happened several weeks before. So I was feeling a sense of heaviness, and I was not, and this is the word, I was not feeling received by Trinity Church. I felt tolerated, but I didn't feel received. That was the word. And I didn't think anything of it. I just like, man, that's pretty specific. It wasn't accepted, it was received. So when I walk into the time for prayer, they lay hands on me to pray over me, just pray for my family, pray for health and those kinds of things. One of the women, I didn't tell anybody, hadn't told anybody, one of the women, if she said it 5 times, she said it 10 times, "Father, we receive Marvin, we receive Marvin, we receive Marvin, we receive Marvin." And I just broke. Tears everywhere, snot everywhere. Because I believe that God downloaded a message for her that she didn't know what I was going through, and he used that message to encourage me in that moment. And after that moment, I'm crying, I'm shaking uncontrollably, and then I said, "Okay, God, I think I'll stay another year. I think I'll stay another year." I was ready to go. I was ready to be done. And I said, I was encouraged in that moment. I was blessed in that moment. I was consoled in that moment. And God uses his word, and he uses a prophetic word from his word that's shaped by his word, but he also uses words shaped by his spirit, and he says, "Share it with this person, and you may not even know what good thing it will do for that person." So God is still working among his people. Ability to distinguish between spirits. This is discernment, spiritual discernment. This is a supernatural ability to clearly discern the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. You can listen, person with the spirit of discernment, they can listen to a message and they can say, it has just enough truth to fool you. It has just enough truth so that you don't know the error that's in the teaching. And a person with the spirit of discernment will say, "Hey, listen, that's not right. That's not right. That's not of God." And God has placed, I believe, in this body, people with the spirit of discernment. Does this make sense? I'm having fun, at least. I'm having fun. So the ability to distinguish spirits is not only the supernatural ability to discern right from the spirit of truth from error, but it's also the ability to discern and to understand when Satan is talking and when God is talking. Satan counterfeits miracles. This is the reason why we have to live so closely to God. This is the reason why the people with the spirit of discernment have to show up. And the reason why Paul puts discernment next to prophecy is because if you're going to give a word of prophecy, somebody needs to discern whether it's of God or if it's not. So discernment, spirit of discernment is so important. And then he gives tongues and interpretation of tongues, which I'm not going to jump into right now. All I'll say is this. There are three places or three ways in which tongues show up in Scripture, and we're going to talk about those three ways. One shows up in the book of Acts. One shows up in here where we're talking now, and the other shows up in 14, chapter 14, where it's a language to God. Okay, so but we're not gonna delve in that now. I don't have time to I don't want to open a door that I don't have time to close. All right, so we're gonna do an entire message on that. Verse 11, and we'll finish. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions each one individually as he wills. So there should be, according to this verse, there should be nobody in here saying, I'm jealous of your gift. I want your gift. The moment you became a believer, the Spirit says, I'm going to sovereignly give you a gift or gifts, and I want you to use it to the best of your ability. I want you to use it in my power. I want you to use it, and I want you to use it well to build up the body of Jesus. Because here's the deal. If you and I are jealous and clamoring and envious of somebody else's gift, we can't use the one that he's given us. So how do we even begin to find out what our gifts are? Number one, pray and ask God to show you your spiritual gift. Just pray and ask God to show you your gift or your gifts. Another one is ask others what they see. When you show up, how does the Spirit manifest himself when you teach? How does the Spirit manifest himself when you teach or give helps or help someone or show mercy or when you pray or when you actually proclaim God's word? What do they see? And other people can help you help us know what those gifts are. And then I would just say, try as many ministry as possible, because you might find this is the place, man, I become alive and people are blessed when I use my gift in this way. Paul says, hey, listen, talk about spiritual matters, spiritual gifts. There are these supernatural abilities that the Spirit of God, the triune God, gives us to bless the entire body of Jesus and to help accomplish the mission of Jesus. It helps to make the church stronger. Why? Why do we use them? We use them because the church needs to grow up. And you, when you use your gift, you help us grow up. You help us be at an advantage versus a disadvantage. And then he gives a number of gifts. And he says, these have all been given to the body of Jesus as the Spirit has willed it. So my encouragement to you is to ask God. Find out what your gift is and use it for the Big C Church, because you have Christians on your job that you can use your spiritual gift to bless them. Small C Church, Trinity Church, find out what your gift is so that God might make us stronger as a church. And so, the Gifted Workshop is on the 21st. It's a shameless plug, 21st, 28th. It's a way to know what your passions are, know what your gifts are, know what your story is. God uses it all to help you and I to know what our gifts are so that the entire body of Jesus might be blessed. That's all I have, and I'm tired. And so I have more, but I'm quitting. I have more, but I'm quitting. Let's stand. And I'm going to ask the elders and deacons and prayer team leaders to come down. If you have a need that you want prayed for, these people who are down front, if you can come down front now. These people are here to pray with you, pray for you, to love on you as the body of Jesus. Let me pray for us. So God, thank you for your Spirit. He baptizes us into this body called the church, Big C Church, and even Small C Church. He indwells us right now to help us follow Jesus. And he is responsible for giving us spiritual gifts. Variety of gifts. variety of service, variety of workings. And we ask that you would make us the kind of church that celebrates the variety of gifts, and not just celebrate them, but we would identify and we would use them for your glory and honor, so that this church might be stronger, so that we might accomplish the mission of making disciples, not just here in Lansing, but literally around the world. Thank you for the people who have decided, you've drawn here. We believe, God, you draw people to local churches. So thank you for drawing people who are in this room right now and those who are watching online. Thank you for your drawing power. Thank you that they are here, that they are gifts to this church. And we ask that you would empower them and would empower us to be the church that you're calling for in the 21st century, so that the world might know that Jesus is no longer dead, but he is alive and well, sitting at your right hand, and he is at work among his people. We ask this by faith in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said together, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.